Welcome to the Brown Bowl Podcast. This is a podcast created for the love of food and meant to support you on a journey to making more vegan choices, no matter where you are along the way. I'm your host, Kim Sujovalski. I'm a teacher, a certified plant-based cook, and for years, I've been helping people go vegan or take more steps in that direction by teaching you how to cook delicious vegan meals, get back in the kitchen, and improve your relationship with food. So are you ready? Lace up those trainers if you're going for a walk, or grab a cup of coffee, get comfy on the couch, and listen in. Hey guys, welcome back. I am so excited that you're here. I'm so excited I was able to be here because this week was kind of crazy. We've been working hard on a little surprise that we're going to have in store for you next year at Brown Bowl. I can't tell you what it is, but we have been working and working nonstop. So I wasn't sure I was going to be able to get this to you in time. In fact, you might be listening to this a few hours after we're supposed to be usually publishing this on Thursday. So if that happened, I apologize. But here I am. I didn't want to leave you without a podcast episode this week because I've got so many stories to tell you because it was Thanksgiving last week, right? It's the big kahuna when it comes to cooking. Well, Christmas is coming up. That's another one, right? But yeah, when it comes to Thanksgiving and having Brown Bowl, which is a cooking website and a cooking podcast, along with a lot of things we talk about, food and veganism, of course, but you know, food is where it's at. So it's kind of a big deal, right? And I gave you so many tips and content, in the weeks leading up to Thanksgiving, but I haven't told you what happened in our Thanksgiving. And some things happened. I had a big lesson that I learned, and I wanted to share the pictures as I always do. So that's what today's episode is about. It's going to be a short and sweet one. I'm just going to tell you the stories, and hopefully you're going to be able to learn something really important that I learned prepping for my Thanksgiving that hopefully is going to help you for your holiday gatherings too, because, you know, those are coming up. And of course, all of the things I'm going to tell you about have pictures to go with them, and you can find them in the post that goes with this episode at bramble.com. And speaking about bramble.com, just as we did with our Thanksgiving recipe collection, in the next few days, you are going to see a little bar at the top of our website with all of our collection of holiday recipes. And that's going to be so incredibly cool because you have them all in one place. Parts of it is dedicated to, you know, anybody, recipes from our website and our blog and the YouTube channel. And then you also have a section that is exclusive for our members. So if you're a member, you can click the link and it'll take you into your part, your private access of the program. So that's pretty cool. And we're going to have, of course, more recipes coming in the next few weeks leading up to the holidays. And I think you're going to have some really delicious yummies. I am recipe testing and cooking so much these days. I have even been kind of a mess when it comes to my own meals in the kitchen, but we're going to talk about that maybe in next week's episode, because I've also been learning a couple of things in that department, because sometimes things, you know, life gets so busy. And this is definitely our busiest time of year at Brown Bowl. But anyway, today we're going to talk all about my Thanksgiving and some of the crazy stuff that happened. Some crazy stuff happened, you guys. I'm going to tell you all about it today. And remember to check out those pictures. Now, also remember to check out our online program, My Brown Bowl. You can check out all of the details by visiting www.mybrownbowl.com. You can see a trailer, a video trailer with everything that's included in the program. And the reason I'm mentioning it is because if you have loved ones that are interested in cooking, that are trying to make more vegan meals, or that have decided to go vegan, it's a great gift. And if you scroll down in that page that I just gave you, www.mybrownbowl.com, then you're going to find the link at the very bottom after our testimonials from our members and everything like that. You're going to find a link so that you can send it as a gift, and you can choose how many months you want to send the membership for, or if you want to send the lifetime plan, you can also send it And it's pretty cool. It's a video-based online cooking program in which I teach you how to make all of your favorites, all of the delicious goodies that we love, holiday related or not. And, you know, of course, in their vegan version. And it's a place where we talk about a lot of things that have to do with our relationship with food as well. We talk about, you know, how to improve our relationship with food, tips when it comes to eating mindfully, practicing mindful eating. And we also cover things that you might not think are associated with the way that we eat. Things like getting organized in the kitchen and meal planning, meal prepping, batch cooking. All of these things are included. And of course, we cook and we cook so much together. And it's all in video format. So, you know, you can relax and watch. And it's really, in my opinion, one of the best ways to learn cooking techniques because you can actually see them in action and it starts becoming less intimidating. So if, you know, whether you're a newbie cook or an advanced cook, there's a little something for everybody in the program. And I hope you go and check that out. We have so many new members. That's another thing I wanted to do at the top of today's show. I want to welcome all of our new members. We had a whole bunch of members sign up last week, and I am so grateful and I am so excited. I'm already reading your comments, and I'm seeing the pictures that you've been sending me. You're exploring and cooking, and it just makes my day. You are the reason I do this, and I'm so happy to have you as part of our little Brown Bowl family. It's so cool. And yeah, Brown Bowl just keeps growing, which is so exciting. And, you know, we've got so much in store for you that I am happy to see what you guys are making in your kitchen. So send me your pictures. Don't forget. All right. Now, without further ado, we're going to talk about our Thanksgiving because I am going to give you a very quick recipe today that is so scrumptious. Well, let me go, you know, in order. As you know, Thanksgiving was last week, and we have, you know, we were giving you recipes. We published our leek mushroom and fig tart in our YouTube channel and in our recipe section at brownbowl.com. We gave you delicious recipes in the online program on top of all of the ones, all of the holiday-related ones that you already have. And we were sharing, you know, tips and prepping tips and photos on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram. And yeah, I mean, we gave you tons of stuff to prep for the big day, for the big event. But I have not told you about the secret adventures that that we went through on that day and why my dog almost gave me a heart attack. Right, like 5 minutes before guests were going to arrive, and why two people actually cried at our Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And of course, you didn't hear, you don't know what our yummy menu was, and you didn't see what I decided to, you know, put in terms of decor. And also the two quick sides that I made that were out of this world. And that today, in today's episode, I'm going to teach you how to make them because these are two sides that you can quickly whip up. You don't have to measure anything. And they're going to add lots of color to your holiday meals. So today you're going to learn how to do that. And, you know, just all of the ins and outs and the stories from the day. Also, a big lesson learned. Big lesson learned. I always, after we have our holiday, our Thanksgiving themed pre-episodes, and then I show you the pictures of our actual Thanksgiving, I always tell you about the lessons I learned so that I try not to repeat them next year, right? And this year I learned a big one, one that I think I've been wanting to learn for many years, and I just wasn't able to do it. You know, lessons sometimes arrive when they arrive several times until you actually get the message. And I got the message. So you can quit it now. You can quit sending me examples of this. I'm going to tell you what that is in a second. But anyway, these are just, you know, tips and things that can really help, you know, big meals like these run more smoothly, right? This is what we want when we're hosting big holiday meals with lots of family coming over. And let me just start by saying this. I love Thanksgiving. And I especially love to host it because then I get to think of the decor and setting the table and making my little printed menus and place cards. I mean, it's almost as fun as the cooking itself. And if you've ever seen any of our holiday mashup posts. And these, by the way, have a podcast version kind of also. You can listen to me describe these things in the podcast, but there's also posts that go with these. And these I think I've called them, you know, Thanksgiving mashup and Halloween mashup and or Halloween decor, Thanksgiving decor. And I kind of go through all of the basics, tips for hosting and decoration tips and decoration ideas and, you know, recipe and meal menu ideas and things like that. So if you've seen this, you know how much I love a beautiful table and how to kind of look after the decor. It's not only about the food, it's about the whole situation, right? Feeling that you're having this really, really special meal. It's what I love about hosting big holiday gatherings, right? And I also love to keep it simple. I'm not a person that has a lot of time or a lot of patience to do these like really crazy elaborate things where I'm going to spray paint something. I'm just not going to do that. If you have time for that, I love it because there are so many cool ideas. You know, this year when I was kind of looking for ideas, I said, oh my gosh, if I had some spray paint now, I would kind of try to do these spray beautiful, you know, spray painted pumpkins. But I didn't have the pumpkins and I didn't have the spray. And I just thought that was going to take three extra trips, right? To the hardware store and to the pumpkin place and to the, yeah, too much work. So I like to keep it really simple. And you can do whatever you have time for. It doesn't have to be this elaborate setting. But anyway, I'm going to show you what I did, right? So this year I went for a woodsy decor. I remember a few years ago, earlier this year when Carlos and I celebrated our 10-year wedding anniversary, I showed you some wedding pictures. You can find those in our blog. And there's a podcast episode that goes with that. And I kind of showed you the decor and everything. And after we got married, I watched this film, which I absolutely love. The film is called Catch and Release. One of the reasons why I love it is because it is set in Boulder, Colorado, a place I have never been to, but I dream of going to, partly because of that film. It's just the most magnificent place. It's like my kind of jam completely. And anyway, this film is about friendship and it's about people coming together and it's kind of a dark comedy, but it's also got element. It also has elements of drama in it. And in this movie, they are planning for a wedding and the decor is this woodsy wedding decor. And I remember watching that film and saying, oh my God, if I could redo my wedding, I would do it exactly like that. It was just stunning. So I think that's the reason why almost all of my table settings now are woodsy themed. So anyway, this is what I did. I found this beautiful natural wreath that I placed in the center of the table. And I had little printed menus on cream cardstock paper that, by the way, the wreath had this beautiful little ribbon that said thank you all around it and kind of these little black glittery berries, like these fake berries stuck into the wreath. And it was just so woodsy and cute. And you have pictures of this, of course. And this was on the center of the table. I had my little, you know, menus, which I always love to print out so people know what each dish is. People love that. It was the first thing people noticed when they walked in, those little printed menus. We had napkins wrapped in twine and a little cinnamon stick and pine needles. And of course, I used my favorite little stamps. You probably remember those from last year's decor to print people's initials on these little woodsy kind of place cards that I have that are really not place cards. They're kind of like Christmas tree ornaments. So I wrap the twine around the napkin with the little cinnamon stick and the pine needles. And it's just so darn cute. It really is. And we had this kind of little path along the table. We have a long table. So along the center of the table, I made this little woodsy path with small branches and little branch slabs and whole walnuts, like in the shell, and hazelnuts and pecans and some cinnamon sticks and other woodsy decor items that I found last year at this amazing craft store. It was all like, you know, like a forest. It was like the forest on my table. That's what it looked like. But really simple, guys. Really, really simple. And it just looked so, so beautiful. Now, here's where the heart attack part comes in. I broke a rule that I have. I broke my set the table the night before rule, right? I always tell you to do this. I broke it because I got busy and I was cooking and we needed to use the table for other things and I couldn't set it. So it was just, you know, I broke my rule. And so I ended up not only breaking it, but leaving it until the very last minute. So I set the table. It looked beautiful. But then I suddenly realized that I didn't have any candles for the table. I had my little candlestick holder thingies, which were part of the decor. And I didn't have any white candles for them. So we had a bit of time before our guests arrived. So I set everything up, right? I left the table completely ready, including the plates and the napkins and the menus and all of, you know, the forks and knives and spoons and my beautiful glass water bottle and those candlestick holders that were also made out of glass. And, you know, everything was set. Like the table was set. It was perfect. All it needed were the two white candles that we were going to put on the things. And we headed out, right? We got in the car, we headed out, we bought some ice because you can never have too much ice. And we got the white candles and we headed back home. So here's what happened. I opened the door of our apartment and the first thing I see is a walnut on the rug. Remember those walnuts in the shell that I used to decorate that little woodsy path on the table? Yeah, those walnuts. So, yeah, it was on the floor, on the rug, and I immediately knew what had happened. Our little acrobat Vega, and Vega is our white dog, if you have seen our Instagram, thousands of Instagram photos and videos of her. We have our little older dog, Nala. She's kind of like this, our little brown cocker spaniel. Well, not maybe caramel color or something, cinnamon color. She's a cocker spaniel. And then we have our younger but bigger little white dog, Vega. This is just so you can identify them in the pictures when you see these pictures. And our little acrobat Vega, who can jump so high, she once climbed, this is a true story, she once climbed a tree chasing after a cat. And when I say climbed, I mean like really high up the tree. I almost had another heart attack that day. So our little acrobat Vega had jumped on my perfectly set Thanksgiving table to grab some of the walnuts so she could use them to play. So I hadn't even looked at the table. I just saw the walnut and I knew what had happened. I closed my eyes and all I could do was tell Carlos, I can't look. I can't look. I can't look. Mind you, our guests were going to arrive in the next 5 minutes, right? Because we did this just before people were going to arrive. Well, yeah, heart attack moment, right? Long story short, Vega had jumped on the table, walked the woodsy path from one end of the table to the other, and hadn't moved a thing except for the one walnut that she grabbed so she could play with it. And then she jumped down from the table without even moving the tablecloth. I mean, yes, it's kind of adorable and also really heart attack worthy. I mean, my goodness, anything could have happened. And the reason I know that she was on that table is because there were little spaces in the shape of her paws across the path. So the path was full of these little branches and twigs and things. There, you could see the spaces where she had walked in because she kind of left footprints all over. Not dirty footprints, you know, just like the spaces in between the... I almost had a heart attack, guys. This was 5 minutes, literally 5 minutes before everybody arrived. So anyway, we set up our candles. We lit the candles and people arrived at 8 on the dot 2 seconds later. And She's an acrobat. What can I tell you? She's a ninja dog. I don't know. It was just crazy. Lesson learned. Do not think that just because there isn't any food on top of the table, she's not going to want to get on it to grab something. So I just have to remember to just empty out my living room and just leave it to her for her to do whatever she wants. It's crazy. Anyway, here's the awesome part about Thanksgiving. Carlos and I have been living in Spain for 8 years now, and our families are almost never around this time of year, which means Thanksgiving is usually a feast for our friends. And this year, we got the best of two worlds. I think I haven't told you this yet. I don't know why. Maybe I've hinted at it, or maybe I've mentioned it, but I haven't actually told you. But Carlos's parents moved to Madrid a little over 3 months ago. So they're living like right next, I mean, like 5 minutes away. We can walk to their house. They can walk over here. And it's been just unbelievable and amazing. They are the coolest people. And, you know, not only that, but his first cousin and her boyfriend are also living in Madrid. And, you know, for the first time in years, we got to spend Thanksgiving with family as well as friends. You've met our friends, well, you've quote unquote met over the podcast, you know, waves. You've met our friends, or you've heard me talk about our friends, Annie and David, many times before. You've seen hundreds of pictures of them. They're basically our second family here. And of course, they were also in our Thanksgiving. But it was so special because, you know, we were all together. And of course, there were family members that were not here. I wish my sister-in-law had been here with her two beautiful babies and, you know, Carlos's other cousins and aunts and uncles and his grandma and, you know, members of my family. I wish we had all been together, but that's almost impossible to bring everybody together. So we were so happy to have, you know, as many as we could have. And I hope one day we can have more of our loved ones, you know, gathered together around that table. Although there was almost no more space left. My mother-in-law had to bring 3 forks, 3 knives, and 3 spoons to help me complete the whole set. So you've got tons of pictures of the gang. You're going to see us all there. And you're going to get to meet Carlos's mom and dad and our friends and his cousin. And we took so many pictures that day. I don't know who took this picture, but somebody took a picture of us on the couch with the dogs. And it's becoming one of my favorite pictures of all time. I'm going to try to share it on Instagram too. So yeah, it was such a special day, you guys. Now let's talk about the big lesson learned this Thanksgiving. Last Thanksgiving, I told you, do not leave a kind of last minute dish that needs your full attention and something needs to be sauteed. Do not do that on Thanksgiving or Christmas. Don't leave a dish that needs to be cooked from start to finish at the very, you know, just like right before serving. Don't do that. That was last year's lesson, right? This year's lesson. Ooh, it's one that has taken me years to truly get across my stubborn little head. And maybe it's the biggest lesson I've received in the past few months. And, you know, it was pretty incredible. It was pretty meaningful to me. Maybe to you, it's as easy as pie because you're a normal person. But it's to accept help. And by accept help, I don't mean ask someone to peel a carrot or keep you company in the kitchen while you frantically do everything yourself, you know, truly believing that it takes longer to explain something to someone who is willing and eager to help you than it is to just do it yourself. If you know what, you're probably laughing if you're somebody like me, because you've probably said this before. You've said, no, you know, it's just going to take me longer to explain, you know, to explain this to you. So I'm just going to do it, you know, because it's just easier. It's just going to be faster. Well, it isn't. Spoiler alert. It isn't faster. I learned this the easy way this year. That's the cool part of this lesson. So you probably, if you have problem accepting help, you know what I'm talking about, right? And trust me when I tell you, this has been me all my life, in every single aspect of my life. And I don't know where this well, I think I kind of know where this comes from. That's a topic for another episode. But I've always had, because I've been kind of on my own for so many years, I've had this mentality of, I've got to be able to, you know, take care of myself and do it on my own. And this is kind of extended through other parts of my life where I do, you know, where I could have used so much help, and I have used help when things have gotten so hard that I've needed it. And but then it's too late. Then you're already exhausted, and you're already like in deep need of support. And that's not the idea. We should be able to take in all of the help that is offered to us, because trust me, it usually is. Somebody's out there offering. And if you don't have people offering, well, you know, you need to get some people to start offering. But I have had people offer help forever, and I have never taken them up on it. And this year I got a big sign from the universe explaining why I've been doing it all wrong. And I'm so grateful for that. So here's what happened. You know, my mother-in-law, and I want you to keep in mind throughout the story that I have one of the good ones, okay? By good, I mean awesome. I have the best mother-in-law. I really cannot complain. And she called me 2 days before Thanksgiving, 2 days before, to find out at what time I wanted her to come to my house the day before the dinner so that, you know, we could get most of the food ready and she could help me. You know, mind you, I had already told her that she could take care of the appetizers. That was already a big deal in the delegation department for me, you know, saying, okay, you can do the appetizers if you want. And on top of that, she was going to do the appetizers. And on top of that, she called me 2 days before Thanksgiving, asking at what time I wanted her there the day before Thanksgiving to help. And I didn't know what to answer her. I mean, what? This was so foreign to me. What did she mean by help? What did she mean when she insisted that we could get a lot done the day before and she could simply, you know, help me wash dishes between one recipe and the next so that I didn't have to? And what did she mean by at what time did I want her there? This was like such a new thing for me that I just didn't. It took like 3 phone calls for her to actually say, no, I'm coming over and we're going to do this together. And then I kind of said, well, okay. So, you know, in spite of the fact that I always tell you guys to ask for help in the kitchen, in so many of our Thanksgiving videos and tip videos, I realized this year that I hardly ever take my own advice when it comes to accepting help. And it really took me calling her twice more to finally give her a time and tell her that I was indeed in need of some assistance. And the day before, just as I was going to start cooking my make-ahead dishes, she rang the doorbell and we got straight to work. And guys, it was maybe just as much fun as Thanksgiving itself. I mean, we talked and we laughed and she told me stories and she peeled a gazillion shallots for our boozy shallots in spite of the fact that they were making her cry. And I insisted that I could take over because I have contacts and onions don't make me cry. She insisted that she was going to finish and she peeled all of those shallots. There were so many. She washed and dried my measuring cups. She washed and dried my mushrooms. Before I even needed to ask her, she was washing and drying my little teaspoons and tablespoon, you know, measuring thingies. I should know the name of this, by the way. I'm a cook. But, you know, my measuring spoons. There you go, my measuring spoons. She was washing them out before I had to grab them again and notice that they were full of maple syrup and I needed to wash all of that sticky stuff out of it. No, they were washed and dried and next to where I was working, ready for me to use them again. I mean, oh my goodness. It was incredible. She kept me company. She measured out ingredients. She learned how to cook all my Thanksgiving dishes in the process, by the way. And she helped me check seasonings and, you know, taste things and see if they were okay. And she helped me plan the decor. She was the one, by the way, who got the idea of putting the little decorations inside the wreath which was brilliant. I mean, not once did I feel that anyone was in the way or that I had to explain anything. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I learned really quickly that this is the excuse that we perfectionists use to do all of the work and then be terribly exhausted afterwards. And make no mistake, guys, there is no Thanksgiving prize for doing it all and then needing a post-Thanksgiving vacation because you're so tired after the whole thing. Nobody gives you a prize for that. People were just as thankful and as, you know, enjoyed the meal just as much when I had help as when I didn't. Except this time, I enjoyed it much more. I enjoyed the meal much more. I was able to eat mindfully, which is hard for me at Thanksgiving. You know why? And, you know, it was unbelievable. And I got to share more time with the people that I love. What could be better? And yeah, I mean, we, as perfectionists, if you're a fellow perfectionist, you know what I'm talking about. We use these excuses that it's going to take longer, that, you know, the other person isn't going to know how to do it. And these are just excuses because we want, I don't know what it is, the credit, the, I don't know, just being in control. I don't know what it is. But this was the last time for me because I caught a glimpse of what it was like on the other side and I liked it. So, you know, if the dinner hadn't been the best Thanksgiving we've had in years, I would have said that mother-in-law magic elf prep day was the best part of the whole thing. And, you know, not only was it fun, but I realized that it's often the cooking journey, right? That is 50% of the party. And what a better way than to spend it with a friend. And it was really what it felt like. And it was awesome. So I can really say that half of my amazing, beautiful, delicious Thanksgiving was prepping with my mother-in-law, and the other half was the dinner itself. So pretty cool, right? To top things off, she arrived the day in which we were going to celebrate Thanksgiving, like right before the dinner, with a vegan fruit turkey. What is cooler than that? Keep in mind, my mother-in-law is far from vegan. She's a complete carnivore. And she made this beautiful, like, fruit platter in the shape of a turkey. You have to see the pictures because it was so darn cute. She's a big Pinterest fan, by the way. She made Frankenstein guacamole on Halloween, just so you have an idea. So, yeah, she made this vegan fruit turkey. She made delicious garlicky mushrooms. She brought some olives, and she made an asparagus dip for the appetizers. She's just the best mother-in-law ever. Shout out to my mother-in-law. I don't know if she's going to listen to this, but anyway, shout out to her. She's the coolest. And, you know, after tons of photos were taken and everyone admired the almost ruined by the dog table setting, we sat down to say grace. And I'm always slightly shy about saying grace out loud myself because when I'm in these situations, it's always quietly and privately. And I kind of always end up convincing somebody else to do it on Thanksgiving. Last year, it was Wendy Werneth from the Nomadic Vegan. She was at our Thanksgiving, and I got her to say her, I think it was her grandpa's blessing. And yeah, but this year, there were so many Thanksgiving newbies at the table that the job fell to me. And we held hands, and I just said a few words of gratitude, just, you know, stuff from the heart. I felt kind of like a little kid saying the things that I was grateful for, because some of them are very simple everyday things. And after I was done, I opened my eyes and two people were crying, guys. It was so special. And I'm not going to say who was crying. You know how it is. What happens at Thanksgiving, stays at Thanksgiving. But needless to say, I apparently have a knack for it. I thought I didn't, but apparently I do. And people got emotional in a good way, of course. Tears of gratitude and such, I hope. I hope I didn't make anybody sad. So yeah, that was like the little cherry on top of the cake. So cool. Not that I like to make people cry, but that it was so special, that the moment was so special. I hope I don't make anybody cry next year, honestly, because that's not that's not good, unless they were happy tears. So after we said grace, of course, it was time for the grub. So this was our menu this year. You ready? All right. Starters, I mentioned the appetizers that were made and brought by Carlos's mom, the fruit turkey, the sauteed garlicky mushrooms, the asparagus dip, and pepper stuffed olives. All of them were delicious. And then for the main course, we had braised seitan roast with a barbecue glaze. If you're a member of the online program, you can find that recipe in your dashboard. It's in the main dishes section. We also had boozy shallots in a sweet sherry reduction. We had cranberry sauce, of course. We had lots of roasted garlic for spreading on everything. And we also have a video on how to roast garlic in our online program. I made our sweet potato casserole with, this time I added melted vegan mozzarella on top and crunchy onions. And again, if you're a member of the online program, the recipe for that sweet potato puree is in your side dishes section. And then you just add the cheese, you pop it in the oven and get it warmed through and the cheese melted. And then you add the crispy onions on top. It's so good. We had red wine mushroom gravy, which is my favorite gravy. If you're a member of the online program, you have that recipe there. And if you're not a member of our online program, we have a classic mushroom gravy recipe in our recipe section at Bramwell.com, which is also amazing. It's amazing. So another thing we made were roasted balsamic carrots with garlic, rosemary, and thyme, and super crisp green beans. And these two sides are the ones I'm going to teach you very quickly how to make in today's episode, because they were so colorful, so yummy, that you're going to be able to add them to your, you know, to your menu with very little effort, and the oven does all the work. You can do part of the work ahead of time, which is really great. So, and there's no measuring required. This is why I loved this side dish. And of course, we needed dessert, and I made pecan pie. And if you're a member of our online program, I sound like a broken record, but if you're a member of our program, the recipe for our pecan pie is in the dessert section. So in the desserts section. So you're going to see all of the pictures of all of these dishes, and you're going to see some strange candles in the pecan pie. We're not weird that, you know, we add candles to all of our pies and cakes. It had been Carlos's cousin's birthday a few days before, so I surprised her by suddenly turning off all the lights at home and singing her happy birthday when we brought out the pecan pie. It was pretty cool. I loved the pecan pie this year because I found barley malt, and I used barley malt instead of the barley molasses, and it was so, so yum. Okay, so let's get down to business. Let's talk about those sides. You know, I broke my own rule of never testing a recipe for the first time when guests are coming over, but this time it kind of totally paid off, and I decided to do it because there was really a very small margin in which things wouldn't be able to work out. So, you know, I thought it was a good idea. So here's how to quickly make the roasted carrots and super crunchy green beans. You're gonna love them. They add so much color and they're just delicious. Everybody loved them. I think there were, by the way, I was so sad. You know, I made extra amounts of everything so that I could have leftovers the next day. And there were almost no leftovers of anything. It's a good thing that I made extra because everybody was really hungry. People loved the food. So anyway, here's what you need for those roasted carrots and super crunchy green beans. You're going to need thin, long carrots, preferably in many colors if you can find, you know, a bunch of carrots in different colors. It's going to look beautiful. And I prefer to buy carrots with the tops still attached. And then you just trim, you know, you leave a little bit, like an inch of those tops, of those carrot tops. The carrots that come with the tops are usually a lot sweeter than the ones that don't, and especially if they're thin and young carrots, it's so good. So you'll need that. You'll need some green beans with the ends trimmed. You'll need a few garlic cloves cut into two or three large pieces. No need to remove the skins. Just gonna add those to the pan. You need some olive oil, some balsamic vinegar. It's very helpful. This is a little secret, a little chef's secret, to use some vinegar. This can be different depending on the vegetable that you decide to roast. But when you're roasting root vegetables, adding some vinegar makes all the difference. You can use balsamic, you can use apple cider vinegar, you can use white vinegar or red wine vinegar, but balsamic is my favorite for the carrots. So you'll also need some salt, some pepper, some fresh rosemary sprigs, and some fresh thyme sprigs. Oh, my mouth is starting to water just by talking about it. So here's what you do. This is the part that you can make ahead of time, which is why I love these two recipes. You're gonna blanch your carrots in a pot of boiling water. That means you bring a pot of water to a boil and you add in your carrots just for 2 minutes. And then you immediately take them out with some tongs and you place them in an ice bath to halt the cooking process. And then you remove them from the ice bath and you pat them dry with a paper towel. You can do all of this ahead of time and just keep them in the fridge and then only do the last part. Well, you can bring them back to room temperature and then do the last part. So that's why it saves so much time. And what I like to do is if I have any carrots that are much bigger than the others, I just cut them in half lengthwise just so that they're kind of even sized and they're gonna cook at the same time. Now, after you've done it with your carrots, in that same pot of water that's still boiling, you're going to add your green beans. And just for 1 or 2 minutes until they're bright green and slightly tender but not fully cooked. That's the key. That's how we're going to get these crunchy and still green when they come out of the oven. Then you immediately take them out with some tongs again, place them in the ice bath to halt that cooking process, and then you're going to remove them and pat them dry with a paper towel. It's important to pat vegetables dry after you have them in water because they can become kind of waterlogged and then mushy. So you don't want that. So dry them, right? Then you're going to place the carrots in a baking sheet and add the pieces of garlic, a few sprigs of thyme and rosemary. And you can also chop some of the rosemary and some of the thyme to help release the flavors, right? And add that on top. And just add the whole sprigs. They're going to be delicious. Then you drizzle everything with olive oil, a splash of balsamic vinegar. Don't have to measure this, guys. You know, just like splash, splash, splash on top. You toss this well, and then you season with salt and pepper, and you roast the carrots in a 400-degree oven, which is about 205 degrees Celsius, and you roast them until they're kind of sizzling and golden and tender. And once you see that they're golden, add the green beans to the pan. Drizzle with some olive oil, balsamic vinegar again, salt, pepper, some more of the herbs, and pop it back in the oven for about 5 to 7 more minutes. That's going to continue cooking the green beans. It's going to get those flavors incorporated. It's going to get that rosemary flavor in there, which is fantastic with green beans. But the idea is that the green beans should still be bright green and still crunchy. So it depends on your oven and on your green beans and on how much time you left them in that water. That's why it's a really quick blanch and then a really quick pop in the oven. It might take you, you know, just try this out before you, don't do what I did. Try this out before you have served this to guests and see kind of how you feel like timing it. I think you should be okay with the instructions I've just given you, but just in case, it's always good to try them ahead of time. Then you just put them on your serving platter. They're so bright, colorful, crunchy, delicious. The carrots are sweet. They've got that tang and that sweetness from the balsamic that is caramelized. It's fantastic. So the only thing you have to do is sprinkle with some sea salt or some sea salt flakes on top, and you serve. And that's how you make my roasted carrots and crunchy green beans that I made this Thanksgiving. Pretty easy, right? Anyway, it was such a magical night, guys. Not because of the ninja dog moves that saved my table, or because of all the help I got in the kitchen, or because of teary eyes. It wasn't even because of the delicious food. It was because life continues to bless me more and more every year. And it's especially in days like these in which I get to take it all in and say thank you and be with the people that I love. And that is priceless. So I hope you had an amazing Thanksgiving if you celebrate the holiday. And if you don't, I hope you're planning some holiday celebrations this time of year. And if you hate the holidays and don't like to partake in any of this, I totally get it. And that's, you're also welcome here. Just cook some delicious goodies for your day-to-day meals. But, you know I'm a Christmas freak, right? So it's officially the holiday season. And yeah, I'm really excited. As you can probably tell, I'm excited for the holiday games to begin. You know what they say? It's the most wonderful time of the year. I truly believe that. It's my favorite time of year anyway. So thank you so much, guys. This was just a quick recap of our holiday. We're going to have more in our podcast next week. Hopefully, it's going to be an episode called The In-Between. I wonder what that is. It's not the Upside Down, if you're a fan of Stranger Things, but it could very well possibly be. At least when it comes to the, you know, tangly branches and the feeling that you're in this crazy dark place. So yeah, maybe that's coming next week. I have to still think about it, but keep an eye out for that one. And I can't thank you enough for listening to all my crazy Thanksgiving stories. I can't thank you enough if you are one of our lovely new members, or if you're a lovely new reader or listener to this podcast. I can't thank you enough for being on the other side. That's why I do what I do, just to help you out on this journey. And if you want to support what we do, you can leave us a little rating and review on iTunes or on Stitcher. We will be eternally grateful. And of course, I will see you next Thursday, which is our little date here at the Brown Bowl Podcast. See you then.